Hi, my name is Dean Smith, and this is podcast number 4, You Are Not a Mistake. I want to share a story of something that happened to me back in the mid-1990s. It involved an issue that has personally plagued me for years, and it is this. You are not a mistake. You are not a failure. You may have made a mistake, or you may have failed at something, but that does not make you a failure.
Welcome to a podcast by OpenTheWord.org, where we discuss a bit of Bible, a bit of life, and a bit of politics.
I was working on a newspaper at the time, and we had just sent our most recent issue to the printer. The finished product had just arrived, and someone brought a copy to my office and slapped it on my desk. The typo on the front page was the first thing that leaped out at me when it landed in front of me. I can't remember how many times we had proofed that issue, but a mistake had somehow slipped through, and there it was glaring at me. Though this happened years ago, I can still remember the distinctive purple color that accentuated this particular issue. You know, the last place you want to see a mistake is on the cover. After looking at it for several minutes, those feelings that had haunted me for years started welling up inside me. I desperately needed to punish myself and say how stupid I was for allowing this mistake to happen. Now, I didn't just think these thoughts, I said them out loud. Typically, I yelled at myself how stupid I was when this type of thing happened. There are varying degrees of this type of hate behavior, and it is hate because you hate yourself. For me, I would literally yell at myself, but you may just think these type of thoughts. I wanted to take this mistake and personalize it. It was more than just a typo on the front cover. I needed to go beyond that and say I was the mistake. I was an idiot. I was the stupid fool that allowed this thing to happen. I wanted to internalize this mistake. But there was something else going on at this time. Our church was in the throes of the Toronto Blessing, a revival that had broken out in 1994 at the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. God was moving powerfully by His Holy Spirit, and we were experiencing uncontrollable laughter, people falling on the ground, traveling in the Spirit. I remember during one of the meetings, the Holy Spirit had fallen upon an elder of the church. He was stumbling around and finally no longer able to stand, collapsed in a heap on the floor. His speech was slurred, his eyes were bloodshot, he even had drool running down his chin. He was, from anyone's perspective, completely drunk. But he was not physically drunk, but rather spiritually drunk. He was drunk in the Holy Spirit. Though it was bizarre behavior, it reminded me of a verse in Ephesians where Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit of God." Why would Paul compare being drunk with being filled with the Holy Spirit? Was it possible he was seeing similar things happening in the early church? Even on the day of Pentecost, as the believers poured out into the streets speaking in other tongues, they were accused of being drunk. How could people speaking in another language be considered drunken behavior? Well, it wouldn't. Obviously, other things were happening as well. In the same way, God was pouring out His Holy Spirit on our church. But in the midst of all this bizarre behavior, God was also bringing emotional healing to thousands of people as the Holy Spirit healed us of our inner hurts and woundings. God was calling us to forgive those who hurt us, and the Holy Spirit was then coming alongside to heal us. I was really impacted by this as well, as God brought healing to my heart. And when those old feelings started rising up inside me, the Holy Spirit began to move. God did not want me to hate myself. God wanted me to break this pattern that had ruled my life for decades. There was a power struggle going on inside me. Utterly depressed about what had happened, after work I slowly trudged out to my car. It hadn't yet been determined who was going to win that day. As I sat in my car in the parking lot, the battle heated up. I desperately wanted to call myself stupid, but the Holy Spirit was also there saying it was a lie. I probably sat in the car for nearly an hour with part of me wanting to spew hatred and the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't do it." Incredibly, it was one of the scariest things I ever went through. The fear surged inside me because for years I had verbally beat myself up when I made a mistake, and in some obscene way it brought me comfort as I punished myself for what I had done. Now God was saying, don't do it, because it was a lie. I wasn't a mistake. I wasn't an idiot. Thankfully, God won the battle that day in the car. It became a watershed moment for me as God broke the control that the fear of making mistakes had over me. It's not that I haven't had slip-ups since then, because it isn't a process, but God is changing me and can change you. For years, I had believed a lie because the Bible says that we are not idiots, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Though we are sinners, that is still how God looks at us. And in fact, the writer of Psalms was thanking God for who he was. Here's the key. God wants to change how we look at ourselves. In order to succeed, we have to be willing to make mistakes, and we must be able to treat them as they really are, just mistakes. They say nothing more about you. We learn from them and move on. If we don't do this, these mistakes will begin to control us. In fact, learning how to deal with our fear of making mistakes was one of the major emphases of Jesus in the Gospels. We see it in Jesus' parable of the talents found in Matthew. Jesus told the story of a master who was leaving on a long journey. He gave his slaves talents to invest while he was gone. He gave one man 5 talents, another 2, and the last 1. The man with the 5 and 2 talents took risks, invested the money, and doubled the master's investment. But the man with 1 talent was so consumed about making a mistake, investing it wrong, that he buried it in the ground and waited for the master's return.
The slave said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." Matthew 25, verses 24 to 25.
We know that Jesus was concerned about people who feared making a mistake, because the focus of this parable was not on the men who doubled their investments, but rather on the third man who buried his talent. He feared failure. He was so scared of making a mistake that he was paralyzed. He was indecisive and didn't know what to do. Procrastination is a classic indicator of a fear of failure. I should know. I specialize in this ability. I am indecisive, can't make a decision because I'm always scared of making the wrong one, but when you don't make a decision, you are always wrong. The slave was so controlled by a fear of making a mistake that he couldn't even do the obvious, which was putting the talent in the bank and letting it collect interest. The major lesson from this parable is that if you fear making mistakes, you will never succeed. In order to succeed, you have to be willing to risk failure. And you can only do this if you don't personalize your mistake and if you don't personalize your failures. Jesus' message is that God does not want the fear of making a mistake to control us. We are going to make mistakes. That is simply a part of life. We have to treat them for what they are. Don't let your mistakes define you or your fear of making mistakes control you. Bury your mistakes. Don't let them bury you. But what so often happens is that we define who we are by our successes and failures. If you succeed, you are a winner. If you fail, you are a loser. Your successes and failures have nothing to do with who you are in Christ. A few weeks after my cover typo crisis, I got a call from my boss about the latest issue of our newspaper. He called to congratulate me on a great issue. After that conversation, I was on an emotional high. I was ready to work day and night on the publication. It was an emotional roller coaster because a few weeks earlier, I was depressed and ready to quit because of a simple typo on the cover. Then I felt a tap of the Holy Spirit on my shoulder. God spoke to me again that being on an emotional high because of a success was no different than being emotionally depressed because of a mistake. These were the two extremes of exactly the same issue. I was letting failures and successes define who I was. We must not let our failure and even our successes define us. You are a child of God and accepted by the Lord whether you fail or succeed. But having said that, The fear of failure is probably the single greatest impediment to fulfilling your calling in God. These fears need to be dealt with for you to reach your full potential. And to do this, there are three things you need to do. The first step in this healing process is recognizing how much you are controlled by fear. The second step involves asking the Holy Spirit to come alongside you to strengthen you. And the third and most important step is believing that God accepts you just the way you are and wants you to succeed.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications about our latest production. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating or even a review. Thanks again for listening.